Welcome back to this second episode of our Lent podcast series from the team at St Mary's in Hanwell. I hope you find the first episode useful in your own journey with God this Lent. If you haven't already heard it, please do go back and listen to it now. We're going to continue with our exploration of readings from Romans. Again, hearing from the Bible, discussing in a group, taking some time to reflect before closing with prayer. If, as you're listening, you would like some additional times of silence, please do feel free to pause the podcast for a moment and restart it again when you feel ready. Different elements of the material shared may resonate with people in different ways and at different times, and we want this to be a tool to be used in the way that will best enable you to connect with God. As a reminder, you would be very welcome to join us at our Sunday morning services, either online at 9 o'clock or in church at 10:30. And now we turn to our Bible reading, Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. So we are here for our second conversation, and the Jaffa Cakes have been opened. So we are all as fueled as we need to be. And we're going to continue our conversation focused on Lent and reflect on this second passage that we've just heard in Romans. So you might have heard our first session, which talked about the different practices that we employ in our own lives and the impact that our faith has on our everyday lives. So I'm going to be continuing the conversation with Andrew and Kate and Adam, who you will have heard before. If you haven't listened to the first session, please do go back and you can find that on the website. So just thinking about the first question we've got, last time we did reflect on some of the regular practices that we employ as part of our faith. And it's good to think about the fact that these aren't always easy and sometimes they can be more difficult. So we're going to start with thinking about when those might be a struggle and maybe just hearing about some examples when it can be more difficult. So Kate, can I start with you?
Yeah, I mean, this is my comfort zone really when things like this are a struggle. I think it's just when it's something you've done for quite a while and you're worried about almost like losing your streak. So you do it because you have to, but you don't really feel it, if that makes sense. So, you know, in the morning when, you know, I wake up and I'll read the Bible and some passages are more interesting to me than others at that point. And yeah, it can just feel like a bit of a chore. So it's about taking that and making the most of that. Mm. So, you know, recognizing that not every day is going to be all singing, all dancing, like amazing messages from God coming through there. And then sometimes it's about the process and about, just doing it and being patient and waiting to see what might come of it and not always expecting, you know, there to be some magical moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. And I definitely know, like for myself, there can be times whenever there's something that I feel like, okay, I need to do this every day. Mm. And I can be looking at the clock thinking, well, how quickly can I get this done? Because I've got something else I need to do next. Mm. And in that moment, I'm probably doing it more from habit and routine than from really engaging with whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's prayer or reading a Bible passage. And actually that can be an indication for me definitely that I need to pause and just think about what I'm doing a bit more carefully.
Yeah.
Adam, what about you?
Yeah, it's very similar to Kate. I mean, I listen to Bible in one year every day with Nikki and Pippa, and they're great. And but then the next day in the morning before I listen to the next instalment, I reread that passage. Now, it's great sometimes and the commentaries are great and everything else. But I will admit, at that early hour in the morning, Leviticus, Numbers, it's not always Sermon on the Mount. That's the thing.
That's true.
And you know, you have to accept that.
Yeah.
Some days it's Job.
I find Job really, really
difficult. We disagree
about
Job.
He loves Job. He did it at university.
Yeah. I'm with you, Kate.
Good. I'm glad someone is.
Gutty it is to get through the book of Job. I wouldn't have wanted his friends, that's for sure.
No.
I do, yeah, I find the same, I have to say, that sometimes you can read something and it feels so inspiring and really speaks to you and it kind of, the situation that you happen to be in that moment, it really connects with. And then other days, you're just like, this feels really like I'm just reading something that's on a page and it's not really making a difference to me at all. But actually, we need that contrast sometimes. Mm. We probably take in more than we always realise because we're looking at the whole picture and we have to walk through all of it in order to get that bigger view. Andrew, what about you?
I echo a lot of what's been said, and there's a real fine line between something being a discipline and unhelpful. I think knowing when you've crossed from one place to the other and the need to shake things up is a real wise moment of determinant, because equally, as we were talking about in the previous episode, actually sometimes there is a real strength in being able to have the same things and those patterns, and that can be deeply, deeply helpful because of the structure and what it gives you. But there is a slight danger that you trip into it being routine and it never kind of taking you back into that place. And I was just sort of reflecting on Abraham and in this passage, let me just find it. Where's it going? Paul's recounting Abraham's been given these huge promises from God, and everything humanly probably says to Abraham that this shouldn't work. And yet, I love this bit, and it's in verse 20. He says, "But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God." And it's the idea that Abraham's faith grew because he took an active step in worshipping, which presumably involved the scriptures, prayer, all of those kind of disciplines. And it just sort of made me think of, it's a bit like an athlete in training, and our faith is very much like that. And as many of you will know, sport is not exactly something that comes naturally to me. But those who do tell me that actually there's a real value in the regularity of it. And that it's not always about going out and going, I've had a great run or a great training session. Sometimes it's about putting in the flight time, putting in the hours and miles into our legs. And I think that can be true of our spiritual life and spiritual disciplines, that there can sometimes be a value in putting in the hours, putting in the miles, and just, you know, and as long as that doesn't become a dead place of never meeting with Jesus, mm-hmm. it's all right that some days it's kind of a great experience and some days that it's, I'm going through these paces and I'm building that kind of discipline muscle in, because, you know, I think we see with Abraham, it's, you know, his faith that he could do incredible things when he was 100 and his wife could have a child when she was not too dissimilar in age. I mean, Old Testament numbers, old. I think, I wouldn't get hung up on the exact ages, but the idea, and the idea that for him that was somehow a process as well, that he didn't just hear God and go, great, I shall just crack on with it, but that actually the strength in his faith grew because he devoted himself to that process of giving glory, of thanks and prayer.
Yeah, and that there is something about that active decision he made to give glory. Yep. So it wasn't that he was passive in that. He actually had to step into it and do it.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of these practices do require us to engage. Yep. It's not something that's going to happen to us. And Andrew, I'm just thinking about your magic as well. Like, presumably it's the same in terms of like fitness, right? We have to keep doing these things even when it's difficult and keep going. And that's how you improve and how you get better and how ultimately you enjoy it more because you're more able. But
yeah, you have to work.
With any skill, really, just you've got to keep practicing.
Very much so. And there's the kind of the building the muscle memory of it, but then actually just sort of doing it over and over. Penn and Teller have this lovely phrase. They talk about flight time. That actually, in order to get good, you just have to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
And you have to put in the time. And my magic teacher says it's like you're a rock in a rock tumbler. And the way that you make things better is by tumbling that rock until the pointy corners get rounded out. And I think all those things are just true for us as disciplines as well. It's like, it's kind of working through it, especially when it's frustrating or you spend time picking stuff off of the floor if you're trying to learn some piece of manipulative magic.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's a bit like playing an instrument as well, isn't it? It's the same idea. The more you do it, the better you get at it. I think for me, one of the struggles I often have is actually just distraction. So trying to concentrate on whatever it is that I'm doing without starting to think about what I'm going to have for dinner or when I'm going to get to the shops or what's on my to-do list can be a challenge. And one way that's helped me to kind of overcome this a bit is trying to do things while I'm walking or running, because it does mean that I feel like I'm kind of in a bit more of a rhythm and I'm listening better to whatever it is. If it's a sermon or a prayer, I'm listening better because I'm moving at the same time. But I think we all have different struggles, and it's just trying to find the way through those that's going to work for each individual person. And no doubt everyone listening to this podcast will have their own struggles. Hopefully you've heard something that will help you in what we've been saying. So connected to that, then, we're just thinking about when any of these practices that we have to help us engage with Jesus have actually become more routine or a chore, and perhaps that's diminished what it is we're trying to achieve in the first place in building that relationship with him. So Andrew, have you ever been in that situation?
Oh gosh, lots of times. I think it's and again, it's being able to acknowledge that. And I remember as a curate being told by my training incumbent that I needed to participate in a particular piece of outreach ministry, and I just hated it. Like, it just didn't. I felt profoundly uncomfortable, and I kind of persevered, going, well, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, kind of thing. But actually, I came to a conclusion a couple of months in. I was like it wasn't fruitful for the people I was trying to serve, and all it did was kind of made me feel awful about, you know, and hate and resent having to go and do this thing. And actually, I learned that the real discipline in it was saying no and taking that sort of control back and go, actually, do you know what? This isn't a good thing for me or the people it's supposed to be benefiting. I just need to draw a line under it and move forwards, because isn't they sort of say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And actually, sometimes we've got to be really honest with ourselves. You know, we kind of hear somebody recommend something, we go, right, I'm going to do this. And actually, you know, some spiritual disciplines just don't sit easily with us, and we need to I think it's important, like, to give things a good go, but actually to be open and honest with ourselves and with God, and just go, actually, do you know what, Lord, I'm not getting anywhere on this. And he might just be very gracious and say, well, what if you tried it this way instead? Or, and ironically, the thing that I gave up, we were then able to create a completely different bit of outreach for the time we had, our kids were, well, one child, and they were very small. And we set up a completely different outreach to people with preschool kids, which ended up being really fruitful and gave us some really deep lifelong friendships and was a real source of blessing. So it wasn't, you know, it was kind of listening to God and going, what should I be doing with this time?
Yeah.
And finding the right way and being brave enough to go, actually, this other thing isn't working and I need to look for the thing that God might call me into instead.
Yeah. So sort of trying to discern what's God actually asking you to do,
yeah,
and how much of it is about you feeling you should be doing something,
yeah,
as opposed to what he's actually asking you to do.
Exactly.
So it is connected to the point we discussed previously about hearing what God's actually saying and trying to listen out for those little signs that he might give us. So Adam, what about you? Have there been times whenever it's felt more routine or chore-like, some of the things that you've been doing?
I'm anticipating that happening, yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, just insofar as, well, because obviously, you know, I'm new to faith, and so I at the moment, it's all new and it's all exciting, yeah, and I do recognise that, you know, I've read through the Bible in 1 year and I'm doing it again this year, and there's going to come a point where there's going to be diminishing returns doing the same thing over and over again, and you know, it's just mixing things up a little bit. Yeah. It's little tweaks, isn't it? I mean, you know, I haven't read each of the Gospels from, you know, all the way through, just from cover to cover. That's come to, you know, so just trying different things and seeing how God can speak to you in different ways.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So I've definitely been in situations where if I've been doing the same thing for a long time, it's just pausing and thinking, not necessarily that I stopped that, but I might want to do it in a slightly different way. So one really basic example, I changed the version of the Bible that I was reading. And that actually made quite a big difference because the language was different and it felt fresh in a way that I don't think it would have done had I continued in the same version. And there's nothing wrong with either version, but it just really helped me to kind of see things in a slightly new way. So I think there is, you take the value of what you've got and what works and perhaps just take a bit of a different angle on it, can be really, really useful.
And thinking of it as a season as well. Yeah. So I think I've often said to folks, actually, if you do, let's say you have a particular structure for the way you like to do your prayer each day, and you get to a point where it just feels gutty, and I go, well, look, there's loads of different ways of doing morning prayer or evening prayer, whatever it is. Choose a different one just for a season. So for Lent, go and use somebody else's set of prayers, not because you need to change them forever, but actually so that when you come back to where your kind of sweet spot is, you come back to it with a different perspective,
yeah,
having been like mixed it up for a little bit. And I think particularly, you know, the longer people follow Jesus, the longer they've kind of had these habits of prayer and stuff, actually just taking and thinking it in terms of a season of going, I'm gonna change things up, but actually just for a fixed period of time so that when I come back to the other thing, hopefully I'll come back with a different perspective. And it's like welcoming an old friend back. Or I just think when we get to ordinary time in church, which is mostly the summer, but you get one little week of it just before Lent. And we use the same liturgy for that. And I always say it's like putting on an old jumper. And it's really lovely. And by the time you get to Advent, you can't wait to be rid of it. But actually that seasonality of the change, but having something that's so familiar, it's really welcome when you come back to it after having done something different.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's true, actually. And there is something quite comforting about understanding where you are and how it all sits together that you don't always get if you keep changing things all the time. Kit, what about you?
Well, I had the bright idea when I'd read through the whole Bible in 1 year of doing it chronologically this year, which sounded like a great idea. I thought, oh, I'll learn loads about the kind of history and the context. I'm finding it a little dry, I'll be honest. So it's been a bit of a chore. I'm sticking with it, but I think the way to manage it is kind of drawing on what we've just said.
interspacing it with the bits I'm finding more interesting. So different Bible plans, you know, quick 5-10 minutes here and there on the Bible app for a couple of those. Still getting through the chronological bit. I want to carry it on, even though it's not, I'm not loving it right now.
Yeah.
It might come to fruition at some point, but right now it's a little dull. So,
I would concur with what Kate's saying. So I've done the Bible in 1 year app, I think 3 years in a row. So Kate had suggested using the chronological plan this year, which I'm also doing. I have to say there have been days when it's been a bit...
It's hard work.
Yeah. Quite hard work. But I do think it is giving me a slightly different perspective, which is very good. And it's also really helpful to know that you're doing it with other people. And we're on an app that you can interact with others, which we really recommend. It's called YouVersion. You'll find it on any of the kind of app stores on your phone. Do have a look at that. There are loads of different plans on there. And I will definitely stick with this one for the rest of this year. I'm not sure I'd do it again.
No, same.
But there are lots of other options. And that's the joy of it, is that you can look and see what the different possibilities are and go from there as well. I do also think that actually it's helpful to have something else in the mix too. So I am still using the Lectio 365, which has shorter passages in it as well, which kind of help to intersperse across the chronological piece that we're doing as well. So in terms of for me, I think whenever things become a bit of a chore routine, one very telling moment was I often listen to talks and sermons from other churches all around the world. I find it really interesting to hear what other people are preaching on. And there was a moment whenever I was trying to figure out if I could speed up one of the preachers and put it on double time on YouTube, which isn't really the point. And I think at that moment I thought, Alison, why are you doing this? If you're not actually going to spend the time to engage with it, you probably shouldn't be listening to it at all. So I think that whole piece about just making time and prioritising what these practices are is something that I definitely need to work on and think about how I set that aside in a more boundaried way rather than trying to squeeze it all the time to get an extra 5 minutes to do something else, which isn't really the point. So the next question we're going to look at is really thinking about the connection that these different approaches might offer us in how we, our relationship with Jesus. So we've spoken about this to some extent, I think, in the other questions that we've discussed. But it would be good just to reflect any particular aspects of what you've been doing, things you've done in the past that you think have really helped to develop that relationship and grow your faith. So, Kate, can I come back to you on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, again, drawing on what we were just discussing, sometimes it's just doing things for the sake of doing them rather than fully engaging with them. So, you know, I mean, I think about, again, this Bible reading that we're doing, what am I getting from it? And sometimes it is really hard to see the value of it in the moment. So I suppose I'm sort of using it as a, well, what is that telling me about myself? You know, what if I'm not getting something directly from the passage, what is God trying to communicate to me through this moment? So it might be you find it hard to do things routinely. So therefore, what can you do differently?
Yeah.
With that. So it might not be, you know, actually scripture speaking out loud, but indirectly I'm hearing what God is saying to me. So yeah, I think it, you know, not doing things for the sake of it, not doing things for the streak or for the, you know, the tick box aspect of it, but actually really stopping and thinking and going, okay, what is he saying? And if it's not obvious, just pausing to hear what he's saying.
Exactly. And I think the passage that we've been looking at today, just thinking about for Abraham, what that meant, that was real in his life. Like it made a difference to what he was doing. And he stepped into that promise and gave the glory to God. And I think that's sort of what we're being called to do as well, is when we're reading passages, praying, what does that mean for us? And what are we going to do about it? So what's the action that we're going to take and how is it going to apply in our own lives? Not just, I've got to go through this process and read X number of pages before I can finish and move on with my day. That's not what this is about. Okay, Adam?
Yeah, I was thinking about how it just needs to be something which is real and authentic for you. And, you know, that's the best way to assess it. I mean, you're not doing it for anyone else to see. You're not doing it to present yourself in a particular way. Reading the Jesus' seven woes the other day, and you know the hypocrisy of people following a particular form of prayer or whatever, just to be seen to be doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, if you are going to give up your own private time to do something, then you know, it's got to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why are you doing this? It's you know, I think if for me, you know, it's having that personal relationship with Jesus. And so by if you're going to spend time, as I said, set aside to do something like that, then it's got to be real.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing it for any other reason but that you've got to try and have a connection there.
Yeah, because otherwise it just becomes, it's almost like play acting. You're just walking through the steps of doing something without really it meaning anything, or you engaging with it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I agree.
And it's fair, I was going to say, and I think listening to Adam, it's that danger that anything can kind of become, you know, in this passage, Paul is trying to make the point that Abraham, it's he didn't get to this great position of faith by adhering strictly to the Jewish law, which didn't exist when Abraham was about, but actually through the free gift of instead of him earning his righteousness by what he'd done, it was actually starting the other way around, of acknowledging that Jesus has already done the work for him.
Mm.
Of going, you know, Abraham's righteousness, his right standing with God, comes about because God makes that possible first and foremost. And for us as Christians, our right standing with God comes because of what Jesus has already done. And there's nothing we can do to earn that any more than it, because it's already freely given. And to kind of hold on to some of that this grace is freely poured out by Jesus. We can't impress him into giving it to us. We can't make him love us anymore because he's already like 11 out of 10 on being gracious and loving and freeing and forgiving and all of those things. And, you know, I think that's a key from this passage, is the contrast that Paul's making between the law and grace, is that it's all about what God's done for us and is doing for us through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, rather than anything we can kind of try and earn from mm-hmm. him. And it's dangerous because we can get into it again, just something we have to watch, of going, am I doing this because I'm trying to impress God into speaking to me? Or am I coming at it because I'm going to pray and read the Bible because I know God already wants to speak to me, and I'm going there expecting, because that's what who he is, rather than if I do this long enough, will I hear? Mm. And I suppose that's on a different tack. You asked what some of the other things we found helpful.
Mm.
I'd say learning from somebody else who's a little bit more experienced, who's prepared to walk alongside you. Mm. And that could be something formal, like spiritual direction. And, you know, that's easy to kind of get people hooked up with, or just kind of a more informal thing of kind of getting together with a friend or two and saying, actually, do you know what? You've been doing this a bit longer than me. I'd love you to walk with me in this. And it's amazing what other people see of God doing in you that sometimes we can't see in ourselves. And actually, just sometimes other people just sharing some of that good practice and saying, you know, actually, if you do it like this, you're going to shave loads of learning curve off this. Or have you tried? And there's a real value. And again, it keeps us from it being like a super privatized faith or a individual pursuit. It reminds us that we do our faith in community with one another. And actually, there's this great pattern, I think, all the way through Scripture, really, certainly through the New Testament, of starting with the disciples and Jesus, of the master kind of teacher and student kind of model.
Mm.
And actually, that for me, some of the big bits of growth and of learning things have been by having people that I've allowed to have that place in my life who are going to teach me, or, you know, I kind of give them that permission to speak into my life. That could be a really, you know, it really does kind of take years off the learning curve sometimes by just trusting that God works through them.
Yeah. And I think it's having that accountability, isn't it? Someone that you really trust, you can be super honest with, that you know they have, you know, they're
they're kind, they're loving, they've got your best interests at heart, and they're trying to encourage you in your faith. So important to have that relationship and just make sure that, yeah, you've got someone who's kind of just helping you along, make such a big difference. I think for me, the main thing is kind of linked to what the others have said, really, is with all of these practices, it needs to connect to what's happening in the rest of your day. You know, there's no point in reading a Bible passage that is talking about how we need to, I don't know, connect with others and look after others. If I read that passage and then spend my entire day being absolutely awful to the people around me. And I think it is possible to get into that situation, and it's trying to take with you what you've gained in the morning or evening, whenever you're doing it, but actually into the rest of the day or week, so that you are dwelling on it and trying to weave it into all your thinking and saying and doing, which is so easily said, not always easily done. Mm. But that, I think, is where the kind of the rubber hits the road a bit with all of this. So it's not just the doing of it, but how we live it out as well. So we're going to come on to our final question, really. And this is just about any practices that, I don't know, we might have considered in the past and for whatever reason thought, actually, not sure this one's for me, or maybe not just at the moment. Because again, there may be people listening and you're trying to think about what you might want to do for Lent or afterwards. And it's good just to think about what's manageable and what might be more challenging. So Adam, can I come to you?
Yeah. I've thought about doing some more radical things during Lent. You know, I've thought about sort of wild camping or something.
That's what you mean.
Yeah, I was going to tell you later.
I don't think you're invited.
Okay, right, that's good. That's a good thing.
Absolutely. And you know, those kinds of things and retreats and all of that kind of thing, because, you know, I think that could be a really beneficial, really fruitful thing to do.
Mm.
I don't know if I'm quite ready for it yet. I don't know if the family's ready for it yet.
Retreat, I think.
You know, but I mean, on a simple level, an everyday level, I still can't give up caffeine. So, I was gonna try and do that for this Lent, and I just can't at the moment.
I did it for one Lent, and my colleagues asked me to promise never to do it again. So, I think that tells the story. Well, is there anything that you've really enjoyed doing and that you'd recommend others?
Well, I mean, I just think the services last year before Easter, obviously, you know, there's lots going on at church. And Ash Wednesday was beautiful. Maundy Thursday. I mean, all of the services, though, you know, it's a very special time at church. And I think that, you know, it was our first Easter last year at St. Mary's, and, you know, so memorable. And as I say, such a special time of the year.
Okay. So basically a real shout out for people coming along to the services that are happening. Kate, what about you? Are the things that you felt perhaps, oh, this one's too big for me this time?
Mine is definitely the caffeine one. Every year I think, oh, that would be a real challenge. I'll do that one. It's too big right now, I think. You know, I'm notorious for it at school, actually. I always walk around with a coffee cup in my hand. So whenever the kids draw, you know, a little picture of you in their goodbye cards, there's always a coffee cup in tow. I think it feels like that's too big right now, but then I say to myself, well, maybe next year, maybe I could be in a place within a year where something bigger is achievable, and maybe that won't be under my strength alone. Maybe I can ask the Lord for strength to do something that will really put me out of my comfort zone and see how it feels, because I think I'm still playing it relatively safe. And that's fine for now, but things could be different.
That's on your list for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what about things you've really enjoyed? Are there any of these things that you've loved?
I mean, I think just, you know, the prayer journal in the evening has been probably my favourite. It's my highlight, because, you know, it gets you to really reflect on the day you've had and to, you know, look for the things you're really thankful for and think about the people in your life. And, you know, it's great because it can come from all parts of your life and not just, you know, your family or the people you immediately come across, but thinking more broadly about what's going on in the world and thinking about others and, yeah, just having to sort of look outward to yourself sometimes. And, you know, it's what Andrew said previously about, you know, doing your faith in communion with others and being together. And, you know, that's been a really important shift for me. So, you know, that practicing my faith with others as well, not just myself.
Yeah.
So.
So having those connections and having that fellowship with people around you.
Mm.
Andrew, what about you? Anything you've decided not to do because you thought actually I've
certainly decided that caffeine is a gift in creation. In terms of things that I think what Adam mentioned about retreat, actually, I think that's, I love going on retreat, and I think I would love to encourage everyone to find a way of doing that, because actually taking, and it can be quite a big step out of our comfort zone, especially if you've never done it before, but actually taking a chunk of time out where you're going to disengage from the rest of the world, you're going to trust that the world will keep turning without you, and to put yourself in God's hands for a couple of days. And I would say, just on a practical level, if you've never been on a retreat before, A, there are lots of different options out there, but B, start with something that's guided, that's got a bit of structure and some input, and there's all sorts of different places and all sorts of different topics, but start with something that has some structure to it, and then you'll kind of learn the things you enjoy doing. So I'll kind of vary. Like, 1 year I might go to something that has some quite structured input. The other year, last year, in fact, I think I did something that was, I knew what I wanted to go and do, and I knew where I wanted to go and how I wanted to spend my time with God. And so, you know, I've got that place now where I can mix and match a bit. So retreat is a really, really good thing. And I've just been listening to you both. Pete Gregg has this wonderful concept on prayer where he says we have to learn to take our baby steps. And he said, actually, with prayer, and I think this is true of other spiritual disciplines, that there are a handful of people in this world who love the risk of leaping off a cliff or whatever it is. But actually, for most of us, taking just the next step out of our comfort zone and building up. Pete Gregg says, people go, right, I'm going to pray, and they get up at 5:30 and a week later, they realise they just can't do it. And then they feel awful because they feel like they've failed. Whereas actually, had they started by setting the clock 15 minutes earlier, or, you know, if it's going on retreat, maybe it's going on a day's retreat somewhere and then building up to a week-long retreat. All of that sort of stuff. I think it's working out what the next step out of the comfort zone is for you at this point, and knowing that it's all right if you don't feel like hideously at sea because of doing it, but actually just trusting that God's very happy to take you through like lots of different steps, and it's much more likely to stick if you kind of do it progressively. And then, yeah, there's that handful of people who, as I say, the cliff divers of this world who are just happy to throw themselves in and go. And if you're one of those, like, go, not with cliffs, but spiritually, go for it. I mean, go on the retreat, do any of the things we've been talking about and go wholehearted. But for most of us mere mortals, working out those baby steps and learning to walk and then to run and all that stuff is a good model.
I agree with all of that, because I do think it's tempting to dive in and then feel like you're floundering slightly. So I guess it's just trying to figure out what's the next step for you and what is going to make the biggest difference to your faith and your connection with Jesus. I think for me, anything that's been too much or too big. So one thing that I've toyed with and never done at Lent is give up alcohol. And that sounds terrible, but it's because my birthday generally falls during Lent. And I'm like, well, quite a glass of wine on my birthday. So that is one that I will do at some point. But I also think the idea of just going completely off grid for one day a week or even half a day a week, I think would be a big challenge for me. Like not having a phone, having my laptop, I think is something that I should work towards, but it will take a little while because I think I'd find that quite challenging. But in terms of things that I've enjoyed, I have been on retreat and really loved it. And I've got another one coming up in about 10 days that I'm doing as part of our college course. So that will be really interesting. So I'll report back afterwards when I come back. So we've now worked through all of our questions for this session. Thank you so much for joining us again. And many thanks to Andrew, Kate and Adam for joining us for this session. We will be back again with another episode soon with a slightly different cast. You'll hear different voices, but we look forward to hearing you again soon. Having listened to our Bible passage and heard the group discussion,
We now turn to a time of reflection on what we've heard. The freedom that Jesus calls us into is at the heart of the passage that we're looking at in this episode. Paul highlights our ultimate reliance on faith, as opposed to having a reliance on the following of rules. After all, if we rely on our own striving, we will fail. Without faith in God's grace, we cannot live in the freedom that Jesus has given us. Paul uses Abraham as an example of someone who trusted that God would fulfill his promise, however unlikely it seemed that Abraham and Sarah would conceive in their later years. Abraham was wholly dependent on his faith and his understanding of the character of God. Abraham trusted that God is able to achieve his purposes, that he is a God of grace. Through faith, we are now Abraham's offspring through the death and resurrection of Jesus. This good news also makes us one people who are united in our faith and our hope as heirs of Abraham. In this season of Lent, we often make choices to take up a practice or to set an activity down, with our end goal being to go deeper in our relationship with God. The motivation for these decisions is not one of legalism or rule following, but an overflow of our desire to know God more, to follow his leading through this season and to focus on our faith in preparation for all that God has in store for us. So let's challenge ourselves to examine how we are engaging in our Lenten practices, whatever they might be. Is there any element of legalism or obligation in what we're doing? Or are we truly focused on connecting with God, on our relationship with him in this season? Let's ask God to show us if there are any aspects of our lives this Lent that he wants to highlight or speak to us about. We approach the God who loves us with open hearts and minds to hear what he is calling us to. Let's pray together as we think about all that we've heard in this episode. Lord, thank you that you have made a way for us, that we do not rely on the keeping of rules, but trust in your grace in all we do. Thank you for the example of Abraham, who trusted wholly in you and believed in your promise despite the circumstances he was in. Bless each of us this Lent as we seek to know you more. Guide our steps and lead us on. Deepen our faith and be at work in our hearts as we draw close to you. And now, a prayer of Saint Augustine. I was slow to love you, Lord. Your age-old beauty is still as new to me. I was so slow to love you. You were within me, yet I stayed outside, seeking you there. In my ugliness, I grabbed at the beautiful things of your creation. Already you were with me, but I was still far from you. The things of this world kept me away. I did not know then that if they had not existed through you, they would not have existed at all. Then you called me, and your cry overcame my deafness. You shone out, and your light overcame my blindness. You surrounded me with your fragrance, and I breathed it in, so that now I yearn for more of you. I tasted you, and now I'm hungry and thirsty for you. You touched me, and now I burn with longing for your peace. Amen. we've now reached the end of another episode. Thank you so much for joining us for this session in our Lent series. I pray that God has been speaking to each and every one of us as we've listened to and engaged with the passage and the related content. If you haven't already heard the first episode in the series, please do go back and listen to that one. More episodes are forthcoming, so please keep an eye on the St. Mary's website for updates. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you in your Lenten journey with him.